This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas. We're always encouraged to know that God is using the Ark to bless people's lives. If you have a story to share about how God's working in your life, submit your story by visiting blessing.thearkchurch.com.
I'm going to start a new series tonight, since it's the new year and the first Wednesday of the new year. And I'm just simply calling this one Blessed. You say, well, I don't want to be blessed. Are you sure? Are you sure? And so I will. Sometimes people get a little nervous when you talk about blessings, and like, I don't know. It's a biblical word. The Lord uses it a lot, and it's something we're going to find that there are ways to live a life that's blessed. And by the way, blessed simply means to be in a state of bliss, and that means to be happy. And so we're going to find just some ways that we can cooperate, that we can see God's blessings. Anybody just say, you know what, in this year, I'm a candidate for more of God's blessings this year. Because if you've ever had His blessings, I tell you something, you want more. And it's wonderful, and it's not bad. And so I want you just to kind of keep your hearts open, keep your minds open. I realize people come from different backgrounds. They come all, at the Ark, we have them from all different areas. And that's wonderful. We have, how many of you are Baptist? Came from a Baptist background. How many Baptists? How many Catholics we have? People came from a Catholic background. Look at that. Any Lutherans? There's one. How about Presbyterians? We got Presbyterians. Anybody come from a Presbyterian background? Wonderful. How about heathen? Anybody come from a heathen background? Okay, that's good. We got them all here. Isn't that good? And so I always tell people, listen, if something I say goes crosswise of how you've been taught, the best thing to do is find a scripture. Here at the Ark, we have a saying, don't get mad, get scripture. Because someone said, well, you know, that's not what my Aunt Ethel believed. I didn't know your Aunt Ethel. And she may have been a wonderful woman, but scripture overrides everything. Amen. Scripture overrides tradition. Scripture overrides Aunt Ethel. And so we're going to be talking about being blessed, but you want to hang on, because it's not just talking about sitting around doing nothing being blessed. There's ways to be blessed. So you ready? You want to start? You ready to pray? We're going to pray. And we're going to believe God that your ears are open, that God gives me words to speak, that we can hear. We'll make this a profitable time. And that's a two-way street. You receive, I'm giving. It's a two-way street. It could be a great time. You ready? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we have an opportunity to come here at this time and sit in a wonderful setting and break the bread of your word together. Father, I ask that you would give me utterance, words that have life to them, words that have anointing, because it's your anointing that breaks the yokes and the bondages in our life and brings light. And Father, I thank you today. I thank you. Father, our ears are open. Our heart is open. We're looking to you for answers, for wisdom, for light, for insight, and all things. Father, we ask that you would be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Proverbs, I'd started this out by looking at some of the first chapters. And the book of Proverbs is kind of like an overarching theme, I think, for the year. For me, it's Proverbs 1:7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fear is the respect for God and an honor for God. We have a great, huge respect for Him. And the Bible said that's the beginning. And other places said it's the beginning of wisdom. It's where wisdom begins. It's where knowledge begins. You say, well, I know people who are brilliant, who have never cracked open a Bible, who don't even acknowledge there's God. They may have a wisdom of this world, but they will not have a wisdom that lasts past this world. And God's wisdom is profitable for this time and then also in the days to come. You do realize that one day we'll be out of here and we won't be fat angels, you know, with little bitty wings shooting darts at one another. We will recognize one another. We will know one another. We'll be living for eternity, and God's word will still be the source of wisdom for eternity. And so when we fear God and respect Him, that is a source of wisdom that lasts now and into the next life. Say, well, what about Dr. So-and-so? Listen, they may be brilliant, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You got to be able to acknowledge him. And it says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. God's wisdom, God's instruction. They say despise. Sometimes people say, well, I don't despise it. That word despise actually means to think lightly of, to treat it as of no value, no consequence. It's kind of a whatever. The Bible, yeah, whatever. It's like, no. You don't want to be in that category. You want to be someone that says, you know what? I love wisdom and instruction. I love wisdom and instruction. Lord, give me wisdom. Open my eyes. Let me see. Let me understand. And you have that kind of heart and that kind of mentality, you're going to receive it. So as we're talking about first things, I want to talk about a blessed perspective that involves some things. Psalms 1, wonderful psalm. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3, but let's start with verse 1 first. Blessed, happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So it says, blessed is someone. People say, well, blessings. Blessings also involve, I don't do this. He says, blessed is someone who does not do this. So let's talk about what's the key here. It's a blessed perspective. What is the key source of guidance and instruction in your life? And the Bible warns us about the counsel of the ungodly. It says, be blessed to those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. You say, well, what's the ungodly? That's the people who hate God. No, that's the people who don't acknowledge God. People where God has no place or a totally diminished place in their life. And I got to tell you guys, there's a lot of counsel out there that's ungodly counsel. There's this, like, you think it's your friend at work who, you know, who just never goes to church, cusses all the time, hates God, doesn't scorn Christianity. You know, I'm sure they have ungodly counsel. But you know, well-meaning people have ungodly counsel too. They can come to you and go, you know, so-and-so said something about you. If I were you, I wouldn't let that slide. I tell you what, you know how we work it in my family. We may forgive you, we'll never forget it. That's not godly counsel. You know, godly, you hear people say, well, I tell you what, man, I tell my wife what to do, and I'm the boss of my house, and he's probably lying about other things too, but he's like, this is how I treat my women. Well, yeah, there's some ungodly counsel there. How about this? Oh, honey, you can't trust men. All men are bad. You don't trust them. That's ungodly counsel. A number of years ago, since you got so quiet on me, it's too early to get quiet on me, guys. A number of years ago, you don't have to date yourself, but how many of you remember some of the TV sitcoms of the 50s and 60s? They had things like My Three Sons. You might remember My Three Sons. How about Father Knows Best? Remember Father? Leave It to Beaver. Remember that? How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about right now? Yeah, okay. Hulu it, guys. Look it up. You can do that. But here's something interesting. In all of those older sitcoms, there was one thing that was the distinguishing feature in all of those sitcoms is that the father was the head of the household, and the father was a respected head of the household. Am I wrong? Those of you who have seen it. And so was it June Cleaver? Didn't she always wear a dress and pearls? Didn't she have like pearls? Yeah. And people say, well, that's not real life. And I understand that, but it was reflective of where society was at that time. As we moved into the 60s, we moved into the 70s and began to move farther and farther along. If you notice, there's one thing that's been a prevailing trend in all of the sitcoms is that the father is an idiot. Yep. So don't agree with me on that. How many of you know that's not God's place for father? Godly counsel is the father should be the head. It didn't say the boss, but the head of the house. Are y'all here tonight? I'm sorry, this is a little bit too much. Like, Alan, this, we just got the year started and you're already going with this? How many of you know that's a godly role? How many of you know that there's ungodly counsel that has tried to do everything they can to diminish the role of the man in the home? And so what I'm saying, actually, when I would watch television with my kids, we used to pause it. I would stop. Because all of a sudden now you had kids that were just mouthy. And they're talking to their parents, and they're scorning their parents. And usually in a sitcom, like the 12-year-old is the smartest one in the house. And they're mouthy. And I would pause it. And I look at my kids. I go, do you see what they did? They go, yeah. I said, you ever do that? I'll kill you. Next. Now, I don't mean I would kill them. You know. For those of you who are guests, you're like, I don't think I'm ever coming back here. That man's abusive. No, what I would do is use it as a teaching moment. What I'm saying is, what happens is there's so much counsel out there that's ungodly, you have to be aware of it. And you have to be, and what happens is, if sometimes, I tell you what, if you don't watch it for a while, and then you watch it again, you're appalled. Like, oh my gosh. Because what happens is, after a while, we just get used to things. So, he says, they're not people that walk in the counsel. Now, you have to determine in your own life the counsel that's coming your way. This is why I love Wednesday nights, because we take time, we teach the Bible, we talk more about biblical principles, and they're important. Because what happens is, when you begin to see light, it's able to discern what's not. And the more you begin to grow in this, the more you begin to understand. I've shared about my friend. He and I went to Bible school together. He thought he could really preach if he drank a six-pack before he spoke. He said, man, I can preach when I've had a six-pack. He was Catholic. He came from a Catholic Jewish background, which is enough to confuse anyone. And when he got to Bible school, he said, I came from a Baptist background. I knew he was going to hell. And so I couldn't believe it. And so we were a culture shock for one another. And so after a while, he learned that you don't need to have you don't need to drink beer to get an anointing. The Holy Spirit can give you some new wine. And there's no hangover. And you don't get pulled over for a DUI. I mean, it's a lot better. But different thinking. Counsel the ungodly. Second one, he said, the path of sinners. Now, I need to talk about that just for a second. He said, the path of sinners is, in other words, we don't walk the way that sinners walk. And you're like, whoa, I thought we're not supposed to judge. We're not. We're not judging or condemning, but neither are we following. Did you catch that? We don't judge, we don't condemn, we don't point the fingers, but we're not going to follow people who are sinners. And you say, well, and then immediately people say, well, Alan, you know, we're just all sinners. Saved by grace. Let's talk about that for a second. We were all sinners. We were saved by grace, which puts us in a different category now. If you're still seeing yourself as I'm just a sinner, the Bible doesn't refer to you that way. In fact, it may be a surprise to you. The Bible calls you a saint. Now, all you Catholics, hang on just for a second. Because you're like, you have not had a miracle. The Pope hadn't said it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that the saint simply means separated, set apart. And when you made Jesus Christ your Lord, you were a sinner, but you became a new creation in Christ. And when you became a new creation in Christ, you went from being a sinner to what the Bible said over 60 times in the Bible. It refers to us as saints. Now, you're thinking, phew. I'm a saint. I hate to, man, this is not good. We're talking about what your potential is and the way God sees you. But if you keep identifying with being a sinner, I'm just a sinner, I'm just a sinner, no, your life has changed. You were, thank God for grace. All of us were sinners. Everybody had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But once we came in and said, Jesus, I receive you into my heart. I receive your sacrifice for me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe God raised you from the dead. I receive that. That moment you became a new creation in Christ. You are no longer a sinner. You're set apart. You're one of God's kids. Amen. And he says that you're a saint. Now, so all we're doing now is we're learning to walk congruent with who we are. Ephesians, the fifth chapter says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I remember hearing a story years ago, and I won't get all the details right because it just comes to my heart. It was a story about some people who lived in Alaska. They lived in among the Eskimo tribes there in Alaska. And one of them was a former witch doctor. And he said that they would go around at night and they would put curses and spells on people. It's some kind of wild stuff. They said, but every time that they would come to a home where there was a believer, he said there was light in there and there was nothing they could do at that home. Amen. Wow. We were once darkness. Were. But we're not anymore. Amen. Now we're light in the Lord. And the Bible said, walk as children of light. Why do I say that? Because if you keep thinking of yourself as, I'm just a sorry sinner, I'm a sorry sinner, I need to get forgiveness, I'm a sorry sinner. No, you were changed. And you need to stop calling yourself a sorry sinner. You need to start calling yourself, I am a child of light and I'm going to walk in the light because that's what God has done for me. And that has changed me. So now we walk differently. How many of you, if you had to admit, think once you've come to Christ, your life is different from how you used to live? Amen. Anybody? I got three amens. Good. Okay, that's good. This is your time to respond. It's different. It's better. How many of you realize you've changed in the past year? It's gotten better. It's different. Hey, listen. It doesn't have to stop. It can continue to get better. It can continue to. I used to be a very difficult person to live with, according to Joy. And we talk about, we fought a lot. We fought a whole lot. Thank God she's merciful and just didn't want to quit. What was happening? Well, I walked the way I used to walk. But what happened is you begin to grow. You begin to walk more and more in the light. And now when we have an argument, it's rare. Rare. Some of you are thinking, he's lying. No, I'm not. You can ask Joy. Joy, you here? Where's Joy? She didn't even come. It's not a good sign, is it?
I can say anything you want.
Yeah, somebody says you can say anything you want. I'm awesome to live with now. I am awesome. Don't tell her. All right. Last one says, seat of the scornful. Seat of the scornful is those that mock and scorn and deride and express contempt. I think right now, I've never seen atheists as bold as they are now. And they're very bold to mock God, very bold to deride. I hate the fact that in a lot of the mocking and some of the most scornful seats are in our universities. Or some professors think it's their job to destroy the faith of these young people that come into their lives. And it just said, you don't sit in that seat. But here's the other. How about other Christians who mock God's involvement in the life of his children? Don't be in that seat. Someone tells you they had an encounter with God, whether you believe it or not, don't scorn it. Don't mock it. Just say, wonderful, that's great. I don't ever want to be someone that puts cold water on someone else's heart or faith or what they're doing for God or God's involvement in their life. So it says, blessed are the people who don't walk in the way of the sinners, scornful. What's the first one? Did y'all forget? Ungodly counsel. Thank you. Those three. All right. So who are the blessed? Let's talk about who the blessed are. Blessed people don't do this. So what do we do? All right. First, in Psalms chapters 2 and 3. But his delight, so he's not doing that other stuff, his delight's in the law of the Lord. And in his law, in his word, he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. So let's talk about the blessed. It says, the blessed are those who delight in God's word. Now, delight means to take pleasure in, to desire. It means to incline towards something. You're inclined towards God's word. Someone who places value in God's word. He delights in God's word. Now, it's brand new year. Let me just talk to you very candidly. I really believe everybody in here listening to me, I believe everyone in here has the ability and the capacity to read Project 345 and read through the New Testament this year. I believe you have the ability to do that. Amen. I did not say it would be the easiest thing for you to do. But I believe if you'll commit to it and you'll delight yourself in it, you can do this. And so I'm going to talk to you very honestly. We talk ourselves out of Bible reading more than anybody I've ever heard. I'm not talking about us, the Ark. I'm just talking about people. And they say things like, I don't understand the Bible. I can't read my Bible. Listen, reading the Bible is more challenging than watching YouTube videos of puppies and cats. But it's also a lot more profitable. And what we're going to have to stop doing is believing that I want everything in my life to be easy. I want everything to be easy. I don't want to do anything challenging. I don't want anything that has any difficulty. Listen, let me challenge you this year. Do something hard spiritually. Read your Bible. And if you'll do that, I promise you by when 2018 rolls around, if you've gotten in the habit of it, you're going to find that one chapter is not even enough. If you'll get started, if I can get you hooked on one, I can get you hooked. I'm Bible pushing right now. I'm like. All you need is one chapter, baby. That's all. You got me hooked on reading my Bible. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. But listen, stop talking yourself out of it. I can't do this. I can't read this. And don't you even come up to me and tell me you don't have enough time. Don't do that. Do not, because you know you spend more time in certain rooms than it takes to read one chapter a day. I don't need to explain that one, do I? No. Come on now, y'all get with me. We talk ourselves out of stuff. It's too hard. I don't understand it. Listen, I don't understand everything I read. But I understand more now than I did 20 years ago. And I understand more now than I did a year ago. One chapter, baby, just one. Just one chapter. Just one. And I promise you, at the end of the year, if you come in and say, you know, Alan, I pushed through and I made it, and it has blessed my life. Because the Bible says, blessed are those who don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, don't stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but their delight is in God's Word. What if you started saying this? I love to read my Bible. Just try it. I love to read my Bible. I can do this, man. I love to read my Bible. I love God's Word. God's Word is life to me. It's health to me. You still here? Yes. Anybody want to take me up on that? Yeah. Have I got any takers? Just one. Just one. Try. You can do this. Say, what if I mess up? Then pick up right where you are and go again. And don't get down on yourself and don't beat yourself up. But one thing we got to stop doing is telling ourselves we can't do it. We talk ourselves out of too many things. Delights in the law of the Lord. Here are two important characteristics of someone who delights in God's Word. He takes God's Word as personal. He takes God's Word as recognizing it as being spiritual. Psalms 119. Says, princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Psalms 119 is one of the most beautiful psalms. If you want to get a great mindset on how our approach should be toward God's word. It says, I love your word. He said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. What if you went in your house today and you were looking back and you look back behind some clothes in the closet that you hadn't been for a while and you realize you found some money not just a few bucks. You found that someone had stashed about $2,000 back there in cash. Would you be like, hey, I just found $2,000 worth of cash. It's great. You'd be like, whoa, whoa. $2,000? Some of you are thinking, there's no way that $2,000 in cash would ever get past me. Let's work with me here just for a second. You found a treasure. Okay, how about this? Your dog is digging in your backyard. Is that more feasible? And your dog is digging in your backyard, and you walk out there and you find a box, and you go, wow, what's in this box? You pick it up, it's an old box, you brush off the dust, and inside they got two gold watches, a diamond ring, and a ruby ring. Anybody happy? You're like, pawn shop, baby, here we come. That's what I'm talking about. Well, you just found treasure. You don't walk inside and go, I just found two gold watches and a diamond ring. Whatever. No, you're like, oh, honey, you won't believe that dog who digs in our backyard, he finally did something valuable. He dug up these two gold watches and these diamond rings. Look at this, baby. Look at this. We got money we didn't know there. We found some treasure. And the psalmist said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Because I'll tell you something, if you ever get a word from God and he quickens something to you and it comes alive in you and it solves a problem, you realize that is better than your dog digging up two gold watches and a diamond ring. That's good stuff. And it'll come alive in you. Y'all going to come back next week? Y'all good? Y'all good? You're going to come back good? Say, is it going to get better? I don't know. I can't guarantee it. I've already sold you on one chapter a day, so next week I'm going to be asking you, how are we doing? And then we're going to have the line where y'all walk back. No, I'm kidding. God's word is personal. You notice that the author of the scripture, he calls it your word. It's interesting because when I grew up, people talked about getting into the word. But the psalmist calls it, he keeps calling it your word. It's personal. Lord, this is your word. And the second thing is, it is spiritual. Jesus said in John 6:63, He said, the flesh profits nothing. He said, the words that I speak to you, he said, they are spirit and they are life. Now, here's the thing. The reason the Bible is challenging, the reason it takes concentration is because these are spiritual words. It's not like reading the newspaper. It's not like reading the internet. These are spiritual words. But it's also spiritual food. And it's also spiritual life. And it's great. Sometimes, I was talking with someone the other day, sometimes when my mind is just buzzing, especially at the end of the day, my mind is just buzzing. Things going on, things happening, decisions and things. Sometimes you just, ever just have little days you want to go, oh, can I stop this merry-go-round and let me off? Sometimes I'll sit down and I'll read my Bible. A lot of times I'll read it out loud and I'll read it once and I don't do anything. I'll read the same chapter again and I'll read the same chapter. About the third or fourth time, all of a sudden it seems like it just kicks in on the inside of me and it lights me up. And it helps my mind. Now, on Sunday, I'm going to be talking to the church. John did a good job on this past Sunday, talking to the church about that we're going to start a new tradition. We did it last year. We're going to do it again. That we're doing a fast in January. And so we're going to just make it an ARC tradition. It's what we do in January. Now, for those of you who are like, fast, I mean, I can't eat for the month. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what we're going to do. No. What we've done last year and what we'll do this year is you may fast something. Now, if you hate broccoli, don't go, I'm fasting broccoli. Fast something that you like or something that's important. Now, this year, this month of January, I'm off sugar. Now, I like sugar. I like hot tamales, the candy. I like candy corn. I like cookies. I like cake. I like anything that you can bake as long as it's got chocolate in it. I love that stuff. So that's my fast for the month of January. So if you want to join me. Now, we had more reports last year about lives that changed in January because of how you got started. And so some people want to fast internet. Some people fast television. Some people fast different things. And so how, whatever you just say, you know what? And you pray about it. Say, Lord, I'm just going to fast. I'm going to dedicate that time to you. And really what you're doing is you're telling your flesh no. Here's the other one. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer again and the 23rd Psalm. And I was going to get to that tonight, but I'll get to that next week. As we talk about meditating, because the Bible talks about meditating in the Word. And really, when you're quoting the 23rd Psalm, that's what you're doing. You're meditating. When you're quoting the Lord's Prayer, you are speaking out loud, and it's a wonderful way to get God's Word in your heart. It's like reprogramming your computers. Great. It's a wonderful way. Remember I told you I was nasty to live with? Is Joy's back? Joy, are you back, sweetheart? Is she not back? That girl just abandoned me. She left me. Anyway, how wonderful I am to live with is... But what changed was not that God just sprinkled dust on us one day because we tried hard. What changed because our heart began to change. And as we learned just to begin to put God's Word into our life and into practice, it's made our marriage wonderful. Just wonderful. And here's the great news. And He'll do that for you. I have great confidence in any marriage. If you have two people who are committed to God, I have great confidence your marriage can get drastically better this year. Amen. This year. I believe that. So, we're going to, if you want to join, it's a challenge. I already challenged you tonight to read your Bibles. He's like, man, you're just hammering us tonight. No, I'm not. No. I love you. And I want to help you. And so, we're going to pray. Now, the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. And on Sunday, I'm going to be introducing another prayer. It's a short one, but it's a good one. So, we're going to talk about that. But what happens is during the course of January... And we'll pass out little cards and everything. We'll get them, probably have them next week. Where you can have the Lord's Prayer. You can have the 23rd Psalm once a day, twice a day, three times. I'll tell people three times a day at least. Anybody want to join me in this? Yes. Here's the beauty of this. You start praying this. You start speaking the 23rd Psalm and this other prayer I'm going to bring to light. I want to tell you something. Things can happen. Because when you draw close to God, He draws close to you. And it'll make a difference in your life. It's going to be a great year, guys. Are you ready? We're buying. We're in. We're in. All right. Anybody say, Alan, I'm with you in this. I will fast something. I will pray. I will join you in prayer as a church. Just come in. Okay. Great. That's most hands. Everyone doesn't have their hand up. Go ahead and stand up. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. As we anticipate a year with you, a year drawing closer to you, a better year. Father, we're grateful. You never lose steam. Father, you never peter out. You just get stronger and more glorious. And the closer we get to you, the better it gets. We thank you for that. Thank you for every individual here tonight. Thank you, Father, for every individual has the capacity to grow, to develop, to have a much better year because you're their God. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came tonight and you're saying, you know, Alan, He's not my God, but I want Him to be. I don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, or I've been so far away from God, I need to come back. We're going to say a prayer sitting right in your chair. We're not going to ask you to get up or come to the front. This is your prayer. And we'll pray this with you. But that's you tonight, and you acknowledge that and say, you know, at the beginning of the year, I want to get right with God. I've been away, or I've never made Jesus my Lord, and I want to do that. Would you pray for me real quickly? Slip your hand up across this auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Wonderful. Anybody else? Yes. Way in the back. Got you. Thanks. Thanks. Yes. I see you in the back. Thanks. Great. Hands over all over. Wonderful. Best decision you ever made. That's great. Anybody else? Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. You can pray this prayer with us. We'll pray it out loud. Pray it like you mean it. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.